life as a teen can be challenging enough, trying to fit in at school and get through your exams, throw in sometimes daily seizures, things can become almost unbearable. 18-year-old Nicole Grace Kelly contracted meningitis when she was 15 and has had regular seizures ever since. She told me why she got in touch.
Basically, I wanted to contact you on the grounds of what I'm going through at the minute. Basically, when I was 15, I was rushed into hospital after taking a really violent seizure in my house.
My goodness. And what happened when you took the seizure?
I was just lying on the sofa and I was sleeping, and my sister looked over at me and saw what was happening. And obviously we did the panic stations, and then she thought it was a bad dream at the start, but then she started to see the signs of the seizures and foam coming out of my mouth and eyes rolling at the back of the head and jerking from the arms and legs.
Goodness.
So basically then she rung my dad and, you know, got the ambulance on the go. And from then I was taken straight to the hospital, and within the hour the diagnosis was meningitis.
Wow. And meningitis at 15, is that life-threatening, Nicole?
Yeah, at the time, the doctor came into the room, and it was me and my parents with me, and he says, don't panic when you hear this word that I'm about to tell you. And it was meningitis, and immediately we all, like, kind of broke down, because it was, you know, when you hear the word meningitis, you automatically think danger. I was very lucky with meningitis. They caught it in time, and I had viral meningitis, which is very, very, still very painful and still very active as bacterial, but it's not as life-threatening as the bacterial. So after they diagnosed me with the meningitis, they gave me a lumbar puncture operation, but that didn't work the first time, so I actually had the procedure 6 times, and I was awake while it was happening, so it was a very...
Is it sore, a lumbar puncture?
Sorry?
Is it sore?
Yeah, very sore. It's basically what a pregnant lady gets whenever she's an epidural. It's into your spine. It's an injection. And basically, they take the fluid out of your spine to test what type of meningitis it is, if it's viral or bacterial. And I was awake during it all. And it was very, very, it was horrible. They couldn't get it out, the fluid out of the spine. So they had to keep trying and trying. And there's a risk of you even being paralyzed as well during the operation. You have to be very, very still. So at the age of 15, keeping that all in my head with having, you know, a doctor at my spine and trying not to move, it was horrific.
My goodness. And how does the meningitis affect you? Does it mean you can't walk? And
the meningitis, I got the right treatment and the antibiotics, so I was totally okay after I went under the treatment. Others that suffer from meningitis, if they get bacterial, their limbs and stuff can wear away. They can, you know, suffer from brain damage, and it's a horrible, horrible illness, and no one really knows about meningitis. And after having meningitis, I developed NEAD, which is non-epileptic attack disorder, which I am identical to what an epileptic person has, only I don't have abnormal activity in my brain, which is epilepsy. I suffer from seizures, which are very violent on my body. They take over my whole body. I fall to the floor. I foam at the mouth. I jerk and I bite my tongue, and, you know, I've stopped breathing during a seizure.
How often do you have those?
At the start, when I was 15, as soon as I got out of hospital, they were really, really common and violent. So I was having like 2 a day and then like 6 a week, and they were just constant. And that drained me so much. Like, after a seizure, your body just goes on the automatic shutdown. You're tired, your head's sore, your whole body. It's like you've been exercising for ages, feeling in your muscles. And it's also a really emotional process as well, because at the time I had no clue what's going on. After the meningitis, I was kind of left in the dark, and I was kind of thought, is this epilepsy, is it not? And then I got the diagnosis that it was NEAD.
So what's the outlook for you then? What's the future hold?
At the minute, I've been better than what I was. The seizures are still affecting me daily. At the minute, I'll never be able to drive a car, and that's horrible, seeing all my friends passing their tests and, you know, getting their own wee cars and being independent, whereas I can't really do that at the minute. So that's emotionally really, you know, affecting me. But also the seizures are happening, you know, I feel like a burden in everyone's company. And I know, as much as I say I wouldn't like to be that, but I am. I constantly have the feeling, oh, I can't go to that birthday party. What if I have a seizure? What if I wreck that birthday party? Because obviously whenever someone has a seizure, it's an emergency. To me at the minute, it's kind of part of my daily routine. But for others that don't see it every day, they panic, and then, you know, obviously all the attention and all that, and I hate doing that to people. So feeling like a constant burden on people and not wanting to go out and taking the little things for granted, like I can't like go on holiday with my friends in case something like that happens and I don't have my parents, can't go for a walk by myself, I can't have a bath by myself. You know, things like that really affect me because I just want to be a normal teenager like everyone else.
This is a lot for an 18-year-old to deal with.
Yeah. But at the minute, I'm looking really positive and, you know, it's something that I'd rather laugh than cry about. You know, just getting on with it. And because I've had so many seizures, I think I'm on like number 300 or something. And, you know, it's just part of my routine now and I'm just getting on with it and, you know, being positive about it and not focusing on the negative.
And, so how do you spend time on your own then? You say you can't have a bath on your own. Like, what do you do then? How do you...
it's quite funny, actually. Me and my parents have thought about baby monitors. So one in the bathroom or one downstairs, like in here. Or my mummy would sit outside the bathroom and, you know, just have, like, a chat with me while I'm in the bath. So it's not that bad, but obviously, you know, it's still on the lines of privacy. It's not really... I don't really have much...
So essentially, Nicole, you can't be on your own.
No, I can't be on my own ever. You know, it's embarrassing when it happens. I was on my own once when the seizures weren't bad. And I was at a bus stop and I lost control of my bowels and stuff. And it was in front of total strangers. And I didn't know any, I didn't have a familiar face. I didn't know anybody. You know, any situation that I've been in, mostly I've had a seizure. Had a seizure, like, you know, on the stairs, I failed in the stairs, had a seizure in school, had a seizure in the cinema, like any public place that I've been, I've more than likely had a seizure. So I'm kind of past the embarrassment stage now, whereas, you know, I just have to get on with it. And, you know, if things like that happen, you know, people are very supportive of me, especially, you know, I go to work, I have a part-time job, I'm still able to have that, which is amazing. I'm still able to do my A-levels, I'm still able to be a performing arts student in the Rainbow Factory, things like that, really helped me.
Well, look, I know you're bringing this to us today to raise awareness of it, and you certainly have raised awareness of it with me. So thank you very much, Nicole, for talking to us today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.